Hi everyone, you're listening to Kripya Dhande, a podcast brought to you by the Department of Interreligious Studies of St. Xavier's College, Mumbai. Welcome to the first episode for this academic year, the theme for which is rejuvenation. Our guest for today is Ms. Brinda Bose. She is currently teaching history and English at JNS Mumbai. She's also a trained Bharatnatyam dancer and is passionate about cooking. When we describe yummy food, a phrase that often comes up is food for the soul. Food for the soul is drinking chai with your mom on a Sunday afternoon without a care in the world. It's finally getting ice cream with a person you've been crushing on for months, and it's trying a new flavor of ramen every week with your best friend. It's the comfort that fills your heart when you enter your house and you get that whiff of a freshly baked apple pie. And today, Ms. Brinda Bose has with her the key to this treasure that we call food for the soul.
Thank you so much for being here, Brinda, ma'am. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Tell me about you. How are you?
Great, likewise. So this year, our theme is rejuvenation. So I just want to start off by asking you, what does rejuvenation mean to you?
Fine. Rejuvenation is very deep. Okay. It has something that can lighten you up in mind, spirit, and your soul also. Something which widens your horizons, something which makes you feel richer, fuller, and connected to your roots. That's how I see a rejuvenating experience.
That's very well put.
That's what it is to me.
What draws you towards cooking, and what's the idea of a good meal to you?
Cooking of late is very close to my heart. Because I'm a great foodie myself, an honest confession. Like people eat to live. I do the opposite. I live to eat. And there's no denying the fact that I could do anything for a good meal. The idea of a good meal to me is something which is tasty, something which will give me, which will fulfill my palate to my needs, something which would bring back memories from the past, and particularly of my childhood, and something which is easily digestible at the end of the day.
Lovely. So just to follow up on that, what is sort of a nostalgic meal for you?
I'm a Bengali, right? And honestly, a hardcore non-vegetarian. But of course, I have a reservation for eating all sorts of... I don't eat all sorts of non-vegetarian dishes myself. But... I'm a Mache Bhate Bangali. That means I'm a fish eater majorly. And this is the season for Hilsas, right? The great Bengali beautiful, the beautiful fish. Or as we call her as the great Bengali beauty in our kitchens. So it's a meal. It's a simple meal of the fried Hilsa to be eaten with rice and the oil in which it is fried. So that's it.
Wow, I need to try that.
Please do.
Okay, so moving on, what does cooking mean to you?
So cooking, I didn't start cooking from a very young age, to be very honest. I worked abroad for a very short span, and I picked up most of the culinary skills back then. I'm talking about 2009 and 2010. I was all by myself in Singapore. And how much more can you eat of a KFC or a McDonald's or any other local bakery? So one day I tried my hand in making a khichdi and then maybe a pulao on a weekend. And that's how it started. And I have enjoyed cooking ever since then.
That's amazing. So did you learn from someone, or did you go search up a recipe on YouTube or something?
To be very honest, I come from a family where food is worshipped, nearly. And my family, both from my mother's side and my father's, my paternal and maternal sides, have legacy kitchens, have legacy recipes, which I am curating at the moment. And I have grown up eating these beautiful food, these beautiful recipes. My mother has been, and mother still is, an amazing cook. Both my grandmothers were amazing cooks. And to be very honest, my mother-in-law also encourages me to cook a lot because she likes to cook herself.
That's wonderful. And so do you believe in balancing your dishes to the needs of the time?
Yes, obviously, because the current generation should know, I feel that the current generation should have the choice of the traditional food along with what they like eating. So if you're talking about a pizza or a pasta, or a pasta which is so common in the kitchens these days, you know, we should also be serving them the local sweets or the traditional sweets that were eaten during those times when we were growing up, and or maybe what our parents ate when they were children. So traditional food together with modern food should go hand in hand.
Agreed, agreed. And what sort of ingredients would you prefer to use? Pre-packed or canned commodities, or you know, fresh produce? And does it make a difference in the taste of the food?
Very beautiful question asked. I have an honest confession that when I was staying abroad, I had fallen prey to eating a lot of these canned varieties to satiate my hunger. But at the end of the day, it was the same monotonous taste at the end of the day, right? So there needs to be a difference put in. There needs to be something new brought in. And there is a lot of difference. And it's not only a tad difference that we are talking over here. Fresh produce tastes the best. And if it's cooked fresh food, if it's cooked and served fresh, it's like a breeze. Honestly, and your health improves. And the taste of the food, it remains with you forever. And it does make a difference very well to the nutritional value of the food as well.
Yes, definitely. And I think even I personally have tried the difference between the two, sort of, you know, canned and fresh produce, and there is a big difference.
True, true.
So moving on, how do you think food is a rejuvenating experience for you?
As I mentioned that I would relive my past. And with my handling of the recipes from my family right now and giving it a little tweak, giving each dish a little tweak to suit the current palate. You know, I feel that I am reliving my memories from childhood. And that's what a rejuvenating experience is to me, very honestly put. Some of these recipes that I've heard of from my grandmothers from both the side, and even those that were cooked by my mother when I was a child, I still remember when I'm talking to my mother these days. My grandmothers are no more. And after we decide, then she teaches me the ratio. But of course, when you're cooking a dish, you sometimes tend to forget the ratio, and then you balance out the dish according to what your palate calls for, right? So with the little tweaks and turns, I think what comes out is your version of the dish, and we all have our own version of everything, starting from tea to Maggi and to everything, even a Murg Masallam for that matter, isn't it? So the same happens with me every time I enter the kitchen. Or an old recipe will have a new tweak with itself.
I agree. I think I've experienced that too. And I can definitely say all of us have different versions of Maggi for sure.
True, true, true.
And so what are some rejuvenating foods or recipes according to you? And do you cook those? And do you have maybe any recipes you can give us?
Yeah, sure. So now eating salads have become a fad.
Yes.
Not by me, but I know that by thousands of other friends whom I come across every other day. So my mother used to make a lovely peanut and papaya salad, which is very rejuvenating, which gives a person who has zero appetite back his or her appetite. And if you are under the weather, like if you're suffering of cold or headache or something like that, you could try this recipe in your kitchen. So maybe you could grab a pen and paper, and whoever is interested, please write the ingredients required. So you need raw papayas for this, and the raw papaya has to be scraped off. The skin needs to be scraped off and thinly sliced, very, very thinly sliced. I am asking you, or rather requesting you, to slice it up as paper sheet thins, all right? And the thin sliced papayas are pickled. Now, how to pickle, how to create that brine in which we pickle it? We add lukewarm water to the papayas, and to that we add a sprinkle of lemon juice, and that you can add one drop of honey, and you let the papaya rest. Now you take a handful of peanut, you know, the same banana, the regular peanuts that we have. You remove the shell, or the you remove it from the shell, then you take off the, you remove the skin also, you dry roast it. You dry roast it, and you can pound it or you can blend it once. But keep it coarse because it has to come in your bite. Put it aside, take some salad leaves. Rockets will do wonderfully well. Arugula can do wonderfully well if you go along with the bitter taste. Mm-hmm. Also, I would choose baby spinach. They go the best. So soak in baby spinach separately in salted brine. Drain off the water from your papaya and from the spinach. Now we'll mix it. We'll prepare a salad mix. And for that, we are taking extra virgin olive oil, to which we add a dash of lemon juice. We add salt, and we add rock salt. Please, not ordinary white salt, but we use the pink Himalayan salt, which is in vogue these days, or maybe the normal Sendha Namak or the rock salt. And we add a little bit of sugar. We whisk it very well to the consistency of it being a semi-viscous liquid. And then we add all our greens in it. And as a final topping, we add a bit of minced garlic or garlic chives will also do. Add your sengdana, add your chili flakes on the top. If you love your toppings, add a little bit of chili flakes, you're good to go. This will give a very fresh feeling. It is a mood enhancer. It can be used as an accompaniment to any drink, or can be your simple lunch or a snack diet if you are on a particular diet. That's it. Otherwise, you know, I'm a person who would eat khichdi in any form. So it can be dal khichdi, masala khichdi, it can be a sabudana khichdi, and also a khichdi with a lot of vegetables. That is also a great way to recuperate when you're sick. A great way to start the day, or to a great way to eat your dinner would be only a one-pot meal of a chicken stew cooked in with a lot of vegetables. So you could go ahead, try all these recipes if you want to. Of course, I've shared only one recipe. If you're interested in following more and follow my cooking, you're free to write to me in my Instagram handle. Yes.
My mouth is actually watering. That salad sounds really refreshing.
Don't worry at all. Maybe one day I can make it for you guys.
That would be great. Okay, so lastly, do you know if any Indian food traditions and the reasons behind it?
Okay, so in India, we are deep-rooted in our traditions, right? Each region that you go to offers a special sort of nourishing meal to you, and there are specific ways to enjoy that meal. Like, I come from Bengal. I'll tell you that the shabeki, or the traditional way of eating, is not really eating on the bone china plates or the steel thalis also. We used to eat on banana leaves or sal leaves, whatever was available, or else the terracotta plates or the kansa plates. Okay. It says that when you eat on natural ingredients like leaves, your digestion system gets a boost. All right. And then there are ways in which a meal is divided, starting from Kashmir to Kanyakumari and from Bengal to Mumbai. I think our thalis talk a lot about it. if I'm talking about a beautiful Gujarati thali, I cannot forget the beautiful farsan which is served. I'm a great fan of the Kachi Gujarati thali myself. And I can go to Maharaja Bhog and eat for hours because I love the way they serve in those small, tiny, tiny bowls. I feel like a Maharaja when I'm eating that. Okay, look at the variety of the food served. In Bengal, you start with a bittersweet delicacy, which is known as shukto, which is cooked in with a lot of vegetables on a milk, on a gravy of milk and khaskhas. Sometimes maybe a little bit of cashew nut. That's a bittersweet gravy that starts the meal. Then you have your vegetarian courses. Then you may have, if you're a non-vegetarian, you can add up to 3 non-vegetarian courses and end your meal with a sweet condiment that is a chutney. If you go up the north, you will find the achars predominantly eaten and served with the food. So, and you know, what I came across when I was actually nurturing my culinary experience across many kitchens and meeting many friends with whom I share a lovely bond over food, I've realized that when you make achars also, you're permitted, your family is given the permission to make those achars. Like I did not know till before I was 20 or 21, my family back in Calcutta now, did not have the permission to make the achar with babies. I did not know this. So there are traditions. These are little traditions that there are there. Then mostly the Indian tradition is to sit on the floor and to eat the meal and to eat the meal and to enjoy it. Again, your digestive system gets a boost. If you sit nicely and then the stomach gets pressed and then you eat and you chew, then the food gets digested properly. And they always say that you should never drink water when you stand. You should always drink water when you sit. And there's supposed to be a science behind everything. That's what these chef friends of mine also keep telling me. So I pick up a lot of things and there is no end to learning, isn't it? Our country is beautiful wherever we go to, and each region teaches us the love for its own cuisine.
Agreed. Also, just to add on this, isn't eating by hand also another tradition?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It connects, you know, when you eat with your hands, sorry for my throat, when you eat with your hands, and it is a process which is found written, if I'm not mistaken, in the Charaka Samhita, written by the age-old sages of ancient India, that when you eat with your hands, okay, the muscles and the nerve points connect with one another because you are mindful. And in the ancient times, nowadays we sit in front of the television. I myself do it. I'm sorry, but I have to confess that I spend the long hours watching television when I'm eating. But that's not mindful eating. In the ancient Indian customs, according to the ancient Indian customs, you should sit on the floor, cross-legged. Then you should eat with your hands. You should not talk. You should not keep any gadgets with you. Why? Because not a single amount of distraction is to be made when you are in the process of eating, in the process of relishing your meal, chewing it. And when you chew, most of the food, at least 50% of the food, is digested together with whatever enzymes are there inside your mouth. So this is all a science at the end of the day. And you're very true when you've spoken about eating with hands. And I'd like to add a little more thing. I was told by a friend that if you look at all the beautiful thalis in India, I was just mentioning about the Bengal spread. If I'm mentioning about the Gujju thali or the Rajasthani thali or the thalis down south, the sadhyas, which are so popular, right? I love eating the sadhya on the banana leaf with all the beautiful bright chutneys and the coconut condiments and the lovely, the shiras that they give, right? And the papars that they give. See, everything I was told is balancing out the whole meal. So if you are eating a very oily curry, simultaneously they are serving a handful, a spoonful of raita on your banana leaf or on the dish. Why? Because it cuts out on the calories. It was told to me that the Indian thali system was designed by various regions in order to make up for all the nutritional, you know, deficits that there are in a body. And maybe therefore, in the olden times, people ate on plates of silver and gold also, the ones who could afford. I don't know. I come across such interesting facts as a chef these days that, and I'm learning every day. So every day is a new experience for me as a learner.
No, this is great. Thank you so much for sharing it with us too, because I'm also learning all these new things. And I really like the point which you made about mindful eating. And I think that is so important, especially with today's generation, with all the gadgets around us. And I think apart from what you're eating, of course, that's important. But I think also the fact that you have to be mindful about it is such an important point. And I love that you mentioned that. Would you like to probably elaborate more on it?
When I'm talking about mindful eating, it is almost as you are meditating when you're eating. They say that food, that cooking food is an art, right? And when you are actually relishing that art is where you are doing justice to it. And if I'm not able to get through all those beautiful flavors of the food, am I doing justice to the food cooked? No, right? And by mindful eating, I mean not only acquiring the great taste of that particular dish which is served, but also realizing the choice of the masalas in which the food is cooked. Of course, when I'm eating a chicken curry, which I make, when I'm eating, I am nicely savoring the taste. But I won't think, oh, I've put turmeric or I've put kali mirchi in this. I'm not going to think about it. But in the ancient times, people used to think about all the condiments used or all the spice mixes used when they were eating. Just to keep in mind that they were manifesting a better lifestyle, they were manifesting a healthier lifestyle when they ate. And it's true, right? When we look at YouTube today, there are so many of these subliminals and manifestations and affirmation videos, right? Like I myself listen to a lot of this. And I'm sure that the generations which are after me adhere to a lot of this. Because somewhere around the corner, either we are burnt out or we are stressed. And we feel the need to change our lives. So it is not only being mindful when we eat, it is being mindful of getting nourished every now and then. And when we eat, it is not only satiating our hunger, it is satiating our mind, body, and soul.
That is so well put. And I think so relevant too for today's generation and times. So any closing thoughts on rejuvenation and food and everything that we've talked about today?
I would love to just add on to whatever I've spoken in the past, that eat, enjoy eating, and do not waste food. Let's not waste food, because not everybody is lucky as you or I. So we should only consume what we require and distribute the rest. Be mindful eaters, be mindful users of Mother Nature. Otherwise, we know what the consequences are, and the consequences are harsh at times. And we needn't be so violent on ourselves. That's what I believe in. And I believe in one motto: live and let live, eat and live. That's it.
Thank you so much, ma'am. This was so enlightening, so good. And we hope to just get more recipes from you.
Sure, please, please, please look up my page.
Yes,
definitely. I am found at Chef Brinda. My name is Chef Brinda in the Insta handle. You could just browse it and get some hang and DM if you need any of the recipes.
Amazing. Thank you so much to our listeners also for tuning in. And thank you so much, Brinda, ma'am. We had a lovely time.
Thank you so much for considering me. Thank you very much. And all the very best to you for the future podcasts. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into this episode. Do follow us on Insta to stay updated on the upcoming events. Until next time.